Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's show, Rob, Scott, and Becky all find out in the budget category which is best, Pinot Noir from California or France. Well, sit back, relax, and find out that the answer is neither here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight is a special night because I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'm feeling special. Thanks for noticing.
I'm also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
And Beau.
I always feel like it's a very loaded intro for me.
That's true. And Beauregard, the Wine Vault dog, who is chewing on your headphone cable. There we go. Yes, Beauregard is back on the show. Thinking about trying to eat cheese, I think.
Mm-hmm. And mic cables.
And mic cables. And anything that's electrical that would electrocute him.
So true.
No one accused him of being bright.
Yeah. He was earlier today. I caught him chewing on like the bristles of our broom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We need some bone. He needs some dog bones in
his
life.
He doesn't like the ones Rob got him.
No. He doesn't. He hates them.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he'd like one of those pork rinds.
There's that.
Kimchi pork rinds. By the way, Meyer, get normal pork rinds. You had they had this and then some other jacked up like jalapeno habanero shit. And we don't like that.
Oh,
you don't like that.
I don't like those kimchi ones, but I would like the jalapeno ones.
I just thought it was barbecue, and we've liked barbecue. I just didn't see the kimchi part.
I know. But,
oh well,
I was at the Save-A-Lot and got salt and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Chicharrones. Yes, Save-A-Lot. The Save-A-Lot. They're delicious. There's one on Livingston.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so, let me just say, random and
there's
not degrade
one,
it. They actually have good produce.
There used to be two by where I grew up. The one that I grew up by did not have produce. It was pretty much only canned.
Mm. Speaking of canned, on tonight's show.
We're having canned Pinot.
No, we're not. But we do have a competition tonight. Mm. Not between us, between wines.
Oh.
We've done this before with terrible, terrible results with California and French Chardonnay because we had Julia James, and that was horrible. We also had De Autrefois Chardonnay, which was horrible.
It just wasn't as horrible.
Yes. Well, there are levels of horribleness that Julia James exceeded. But on tonight's show, we're doing Pinot Noir this time, French and California. And the competition is stiff tonight because one is De Autrefois again. Their Pinot from De Autrefois is representing the country, the sovereign country of France. I'm sure they're very proud. I mean, they're like, but we have all these wines in Burgundy. Yes, you do. And on this show, you have De Autrefois.
It just sounds wrong.
It is. And it tastes wrong, too.
Maybe it'll be fancy.
It might be. But it's going up against a ringer. Mm. A top-level competition. We're talking about just like the NBA pros when they went on the Dream Team. You know? That's what this is. And it's but they're both the same price. 10 or under. Both of these ones. Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's a scary price point for Pinot.
Oh, it is.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And the second one, I think, is about $8.99. $9. But it is Behringer's Founder's Estate Pinot Noir from California.
That gets points, doesn't it?
Well, let me.
Don't people give that points?
They do. They have given it 1 or 2 points. and they're both 2017 vintages, which is very, very even. Although I'm sure that's past vintage for the De Autrefois. They're probably on to the 2022 vintage.
Yeah.
But no, you did mention the Behringer Founder Estate. When we get to that wine, that's the second wine. We have to do Autrefois first. We will talk about some of its accolades. Because I poured it in the glass first.
Okay.
And I'm assuming this the Autrefois will be the shittier of the two.
Because
it's De Autrefois. How many times do I have to say that?
Well, you left one really important thing out. It's a total wine purchase.
Yes, it's a total wine purchase, and it's the
Haute Foire.
Is it an exclusive? Yes, it's winery direct.
Oh, wow.
Yes, well, direct, yes. Fresh off the boat. So when we come back, we are going to discuss the Haute Foire. We're going to discuss the way French wine sometimes goes wrong. And we're going to read some reviews off Total Wine's website here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So, the first of the competitors tonight, De Haute Foire from France. Now,
we could rename the episode. It's a Pinot Noir street fight.
It is a Pinot Noir street fight. But this one's a bit of a, what is it? A dumb, stupid baby. Is what it is.
Stupid baby.
This is a Pédoc, and Pédoc is from southern France on the Mediterranean. So this isn't Burgundian. And Becky has asked before about what AOC means, and there's also VDQS, there's VDP, and there's...
IGP.
Yes. Well, IGP is part of VDP. They're one and the same. And then there's also VDT or VDF.
Can you get a shot for that?
I know. Yeah. But this is Vin de Paz is what this is. And
so it's
the level above table wine. And it actually means country wine. So it's
I feel like that's impressive for the price point, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Indication géographique protégée. I believe. Essentially, it's...
Protégé?
Oh, that's what it says. I don't speak French. I do kiss that way, but I don't speak...
Yes.
Yes. And so it's a regional wine where the table wines are... AOCs are more confined to an area. So Bordeaux, that would be AOC. That's an AOC. Then from Bordeaux, it goes into more sub-AOCs. But this is just somewhere down on the Med. And we've had Pinot Noirs off the Med that have been decent before. We've liked them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever made it to the show, but apparently this wine doesn't actually hit the right spots for some people. On Total Wine, Triple B, would you like to read this? Do you want me to read it?
Sure. I'd love to read Total Wine reviews.
Okay.
And so this is individual, yes. Like normal people, not...
Bots.
Well, no, I was going to say not actual professional wine reviewers. This is people drinking this at their house.
Well, it's normal people, but normal people that actually bought the Haute Foire, and I'm not sure that that's the most discerning individual.
I would say peers of Scott.
Ow!
Yes. More so. You just allowed yourself to be used as an insult, Scott. Just point that out.
It was my first time in the store.
So, yeah,
and you both had spoke of it glowingly.
You, want me to read?
You really butt-fucked that, didn't you?
Well, I trusted you.
Do you want me to read Lucky Thunder's review?
Oh, my Lord.
The first one, the top one, yes.
Oh, I got to hear Lucky Thunder.
Yeah, what did Lucky Thunder say? What was the subject line of Lucky Thunder's review?
The title?
Yes.
Yikes.
Yikes. By Lucky Thunder. Feel the lightning in the thunder.
This is Lucky Thunder's first review.
Wow.
Well, he made it the best.
It did get one vote, whatever that means. Okay. I bought this bottle on recommendation by staff. ... Yikes. Clumsy and old, it sits in the front of your mouth like a cheap box communion wine. Acidic with notes of cherry left on the ground after the harvest, only to be collected later because, hey, these are still all right and we could use the profit from them. From selling them to pay some old outstanding debt.
You know.
This guy, Lucky Thunder, I feel like belongs on the wine
vault. It sounds like Lucky Thunder is on the wine vault.
Then Well, this is from 22 days ago. Secondary aromas include old toilet water with a hint of
Rob had to give us
vanilla
some
extract to mask the odor.
Rob, did you write this so you'd have some material for the show?
How do you have old toilet water? I'm just toilet
the
finish water.
Finish was bland, and here come those dying cherries again.
Yeah.
It pairs nicely with brushing your teeth or anything else that will get the flavor out of your mouth.
Old toilet water.
Wow.
Well, sir.
To be clear, though, I will eventually finish the bottle because somewhere out there, a hobo is going through withdrawals and would give his left ear for some hand sanitizer right about now.
Oh, sir.
That was inappropriate, that last part. It was funny until then.
You know, strangely enough,
homelessness is not to be joked.
But we have two other reviews.
Oh. But by the way, that man has probably never drank Luscious before. So.
Angela 76. Or Julie James.
Angela 76.
Her review was titled Awesome.
Awesome.
And her review said, this is one of my favorites.
Oh.
Whoa. That's what her review was?
Yeah. And two exclamation points.
Well, she likes toilet water.
And then Tracy Ann said a winner with the whole family.
Even her kids?
I don't know. A lovely wine at a great price.
Well, she's not sure that they're her kids. You know, when you're in the trailer park, you share them.
I don't know why you would say that about Tracy Ann.
And why you would suggest people in trailer parks would drink the Altois Foix. All right. In the glass, it looks like Pinot.
Kind of.
Boy, I got a lot more in my glass than I thought I meant to do.
There's a little...
I really thought I poured less than this in there.
There were also, like, some... words that I guess were commonly used on other reviews for this wine.
What, ball sweat?
Well, so like price.
Price.
Taste. Acidity, and fruit.
Yeah.
Two reviews I want to read. Taste. Someone said, tastes great and goes with everything or nothing.
Yes.
Less filling.
It's like James Suckling.
Less filling.
Drink or hold.
Tastes great. Less filling.
I never drank that wine.
And then under fruit, so tell me what this wine's called.
De Haute Foix.
And where's it from?
France.
So then this review says, it is lax, the fruit burst, usually associated with New World Pinot.
But it's not New World Pinot. It's Old World
Pinot. Who wrote that?
That one, that was just an excerpt. You have to click on the rest.
That's Harry Dick Schlottman.
The only one... That Rob just chose three. Lucky Thunder, Angela, and whatever the other one's name was.
In the glass, this has... It looks like grape Kool-Aid to me.
Well, it looks like Pinot, but it's slightly cloudy.
What are you drinking this out of?
Pinot glasses.
There's something funky about this.
From who?
This is Schmidt Stoll, right? Yeah, Schatzweisel.
Schatzweisel.
Yes, these are the... inexpensive Pinot glasses.
But they're
where I was headed.
What we found out they're associated with Riedel.
Yes, they are. They're Riedel's
Riedel bought them.
Yeah, they kept the receipt though.
I was going to say, did they buy them to buy out the competition or buy them to?
There's a lot of particulate in this wabbit.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of particulate.
It's a little chunky.
Which. Might make us think it's going to be overly acidic.
On the nose, it's a perfumey cherry, but the perfume is not the kind of perfume that you would associate with loveliness.
I honestly can't smell anything.
Think of JCPenney from 1978, that perfume counter.
Uh-huh.
Kind of that. And a light bit of yeast as you pull away.
Not the perfume counter, but the perfume that the lady wore... who was like retired from her day job, and she sold popcorn at the counter.
Popcorn?
That perfume.
What popcorn?
At Penny's?
Penny's had a popcorn stand just like everybody else.
No, I never went into it in 1938.
Oh, my Lord. Penny's at the mall had popcorn.
Really?
What? Yeah, right when you walked in.
Yeah. That's a movie theater, you dumbass.
No.
Hoyt's. Hoyt's movie theater.
It was in Hoyt's.
Yeah, uh-huh. Corn.
Oh, it smells like bad perfume.
It smells like cheap perfume.
I honestly can't hardly smell anything. I mean, I really can't smell anything.
Put your head in the kimchi bag. You'll get the idea.
It's just south of hairspray.
It's south of hairspray.
That's
but
a great. It's not, that's really all that I can smell, yeah. And it's just not very strong at all.
And it's not, fortunately.
Maybe raspberry, if raspberries were cheap.
I think if you want it to be there, if you go way back in and pull hard, there's a little funk.
No.
Just a little.
I pulled more and I got Pledge or some, basically a furniture cleaner / mothball nose. A little
That's
mental.
From when you were looking for the Apple remote.
I never found the Apple remote.
Got some.
I'm going to go in here.
He's very brave.
Okay.
I've got a mini spit cup, so I don't know about you fuckers. But...
Acidic as soon as it hits your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it hits your tongue.
Yeah.
You know, it is Pinot.
Oh, well.
Don't be a baby about it. It's not that bad.
That
it's
is
not good.
Horrendous.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Yeah.
It actually
it's
is.
It's very acidic. It's
didn't need to spit it out, though.
No. It's acidic almost to the point where it feels like it's carbonated.
There is absolutely no ripened fruit. It is all unripened fruit. And what he was saying, those sour cherries. It is a sour cherry. To the point of, it's a baking cherry. If you ever had one of those, they're not designed for human consumption unless you put 10 pounds of sugar on them. That's this. Almost crab apple sour.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a sour grape.
There's no body. There's minerality, but who gives a fuck? It is ghastly, horse shit. This is the... I mean...
That overly acidic nature might be the best part about the wine.
No, I can't even get into it. It's slightly salty, too, from the acidity.
Huh.
Yeah. The mid-palate and the finish, it kind of goes into a saltiness, and I didn't even swallow the stuff. Not salted meat. I'm talking about salt.
I heard that about you.
Yes. Although that doesn't surprise me with the Mediterranean. Sometimes you'll get that.
This got a 4 out of 5 stars overall at Total Wine.
Wow.
Yeah, but those are all bots. There's not humans that drink that.
Jenny. What does it mean? Someone else said that it's a great crowd pleaser and the price is exceptional for the size.
If you're trying to disperse size? A crowd, you spray it on them.
What does that mean? All the wine bottles. What do they mean?
I think it's suggesting that it's a bigger wine, which it's not.
Oh, you think they mean body size?
I can't imagine what else they meant.
Oh.
I just, because there's nothing big about this other than the awful acidity. And the acidity probably is the best part of the wine. It's just, it's so pervasive.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, when you're drinking it, you almost feel like you've ingested something that you weren't supposed to. Like you're just sitting there and there's a bottle of chemical, some sort of cleaner, like CLR. And instead of your bottle of water, you pick up the CLR and drink it.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. Yeah. You kind of have that same sensation with this wine because it's unnatural.
This is
really
so
not
bad.
Good.
It really, that's a great... That's probably the, if I pick one word about this, it just tastes unnatural. You know it's Pinot. You do know it's Pinot.
I don't know. I was going to say, I've had rosés before that have some of this acidity in it. And it reminds me a lot of some really bad rosés I've had.
Scott, I would agree.
You would know this was a Pinot.
There's nothing else really that you could, assuming that you realized it was wine. If you get past that,
oh, it's wine. It must be a Pinot.
I would never guess this is a Pinot because I would for sure think it's some weird wine cooler.
No, it's not sweet. Yes, the only thing that you might confuse it with would be some sort of horrendous Sangiovese. And I've had Sangioveses that are horrendous, but normally something that's old, and we're talking old and spent too. Like a very old spent Sangiovese, something that is spoiled. Well, not spoiled, but completely beyond its drinkability. This tastes almost, this, I mean, it's a 17. It can't be, right? but I think it is beyond its drinkability.
You think it's only drinkable in that 17?
No, I don't think it ever was. But
I think it was beyond its drinkability when it was put in the bottle. Yeah.
There wasn't a window.
We should see if Lucky Thunder has more reviews.
Well, Lucky Thunder was pretty right because I do agree with the toilet water thing.
Oh.
I don't know about old toilet water. This is more two or three day toilet water. I would not say old. That's being unfair.
Do you get the imitation vanilla extract?
No. On the nose? Potentially. Mm. On the palate, it's acidity. Sick. Toilet water. No, not toilet water. But salt. It tastes like a crab apple. Just a poisonous berry.
Yeah, I was going to say cranberry in a really bad way.
I didn't get the salt until you pointed it out, and I'm trying to go back and remember a wine that had that salt flavor to it.
Sherry?
And it's, folks, you know, what's unusual about this? Yeah, that, what's the sherry that I loved that you hated?
A Fino.
Yeah. No. Oh, it was good.
You didn't like that.
I loved it.
Oh, you're a poser.
You're such a fake man.
Mm-hmm.
No, and folks, this is not salty. This wine does not taste salty. It just tastes like salt. Sea salt.
Salt.
But it's not salty.
No. There's a wall of bitterness.
I guess.
No, and you attribute it to salt. And this wine is bitter. It's not normally something I would say about a wine. I think it's a little bit ham-fisted a way to describe it. But this wine
is so peculiar. You wouldn't say that about a wine. You wouldn't say that a wine's bitter, but you're such a bitter man.
Well, I'm around you all the time.
That hurt.
Mm. But this is borderline. Well, no. This is undrinkable. You couldn't drink a glass of this. There's no way. And the question is, why would you ever punish yourself like that?
I've drank most of my glass.
Well, you're a bizarre person. You're going to start talking about the minerality.
No.
I have a question. Are we going to drink through all of De Truffaut's portfolio?
They just have two things, right?
Unless you guys are buying more of it. I'm not buying more of it.
They have a Malbec. They have a Chardonnay.
We had that.
A Rose de Pinot Noir. Sauvignon Blanc.
Pardon me, folks. I was just attacked.
Oh, they have a Reserve Pinot. Oh, and you can buy 1.5 of the Pinot.
I'm sorry, folks. I screamed. I got attacked by a Labradoodle.
I know. I was going to see. I didn't know Total Wine does pros and cons. Pros are price, taste, and smoothness.
What's the con?
The cons are acidity, fruit,
and lack of,
and disappointing.
They did that about their own wine?
That is funny.
No, they said that about their own wine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to see if I could... Oh, because Lucky Thunder's only written one review, but I was going to see if I could find more because I feel like our tastes align with
I'm assuming he stopped shopping there.
It could be a woman.
No. I'm assuming they stopped shopping there after they were sold the all trois fois. So, get out there.
So funny. And it does have 4 stars, though. 81% of reviewers would recommend this to a friend.
Oh my, this is not less than $10. This is priced at 14 of your American dollars. Now, if you go for the Magnum, it's only 24 of your dollars.
Oh, 24.
It's a value.
Is it?
They offer a De Truffaut Pinot Noir gift basket.
Gift basket?
Yes.
Really? Jesus Christ. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and this is bad, but we had these things, they were sulfur bombs. And what you do is you throw them down a groundhog hole and you kill the groundhog. So does that basket come with the sulfur bomb was my question.
Just the wine will pair nicely with the various snacks that are included. I wanted to see what was in the bag. It looks like...
Kimchi.
Water crackers. Oh, they've got a cream cheese made of Gouda. And some kind of wrapped chocolate.
Old chocolates. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have dried leaves in a bag that you could chew on.
So I wonder how bad their snack sets are at Total Wine.
They're all moldy. Pay with Pinot Noir.
Jeez. No, they're so bad that they don't even mold. The mold won't even grow there.
How bad's table wine? I just want to know. I mean, we've had it before, and it's not this bad.
You know, somebody... you see some table wines that stick to table wine because they just want to do some different things.
Yeah, I know.
And they're good, actually. Yeah. The French table wines.
No. There's nothing wrong. They're
fantastic,
light,
actually.
But they're just kind of a fun departure, actually. But this is a little bit different, where you have complete, total numbnuts trying to do something with grapes. I can't imagine, because I'm thinking about, you know, if you have Pinot and you get full sun and it's too warm, you're going to get the jammy wine. If it's cooler and it's basically a sloping away from the sun, and you're going to get the breeze from the sea, you should have a more mineral-driven wine, but you still should have silkiness. What the fuck was going on with it? What do they do? Grow this in a fucking parking lot? I mean, where the hell are these damn grapes?
I got one for you.
What?
Not only do they have a reserve.
Oh, Jesus.
They have a prestige.
A prestige?
For $20.
Prestige?
And also, similar customers viewed, you know what this makes me want for? Sam Robert Winery's Pinot. It's, in retrospect, it's not that bad compared to this.
This is what probably Samuel Roberts drinks all the damn times. I mean, oh, I can do better than that. Yes, you can, Samuel. At least this, you know, let me point this out, though. I thought the Chardonnay was bad.
Oh, my Lord.
My Lana. There's no comparison.
If you don't recall, that we thought the Julie James was worse than a Dr. Fa.
Oh, it was. Scott, I found the remote.
One of the reviews was, this was a mistake for us. It's a dessert wine.
What?
The dog had the Apple TV remote, folks.
Well, he's relatively not intellectual.
Not good.
I know. So, folks, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back and drink Behringer.
Thank God.
And they're just like, yeah. France. It's World War II all over again. Here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So before we get to the Behringers, or just Behringer, there's just one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people do tend to pluralize it for whatever reason. It's Behringers.
Yeah, Behringer. Let's give
us. Do you think that it's pluralized when people say it, or do you think it's like an apostrophe?
Could be.
Well, I think Behringer's. We should ask Rob, since when I said that, I just meant that he always says that.
I was going to say Behringer's 2007, so that would be Behringer's apostrophe S, I guess. Yeah.
We typically don't apostrophize that. We just say we Behringer. We
never drink any Behringer.
I think I've normally.
You describe a wine in the vintage, you typically don't apostrophize.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, we're going to give a score to the De Autrefois first.
Do we have to?
And I'm going to provide 12? My score first.
Yeah, do that.
69 for me.
Unrecognizable as a wine.
And that's a score of
14.
Cares?
I mean, it doesn't matter.
It's a good score.
I am more because I did pull a Pinot out of it. I'm going to go 72.
Oh, you dipshit. That's not a 72. No,
it was terrible.
I would give it a 50.
It was terrible.
I don't even know how you're giving it a 69. I'm embarrassed of your review.
He's just trying to be funny.
Yes, it's the sexual position, 69. That's why.
Healing.
What?
Sexual healing.
Oh, okay. So, I'm not going to talk about Karma.
This is awful. Sutra that's again. What? That's possibly the worst wine we've had in 3 months.
No, Julia James is worse.
I'm not sure.
Butter Chardonnay. Was
you all have been drinking really good wines lately.
Yes, especially in the second episode. So, on to the Behringer. How's the 2017 Founders Estate Pinot Noir? As Triple B, or no, Scott actually alluded to earlier, this wine does have a bit of fanfare.
Got some points.
It got 91 of the wine enthusiasts points. They were very...
Did you sign me up for the wine enthusiast newsletter today?
Not on purpose. That's okay. The wine enthusiast. It's you said enthusiast. It's the enthusiast. And they, yes, they gave it...
Enjoy enthusiasts.
Yes.
I do.
They gave it 91 of their points. 91. And it was the number one wine in their value or their Best Buy top 100. Number one.
Hmm.
Number one. So we had this, we had on this show the number one wine they had in the world, that Prosecco. And now we have the number one Best Buy.
Wow.
Isn't it so cool? It's exciting to be alive.
Yep.
Mm. So their review, and I'll read it, I suppose. This medium to full-bodied, wine is one of the best values in Pinot today. It shows classic black and red cherry aromas, a broad palette of dark fruits and light oak spices. Lifted acidity and moderate tannins complete the nicely composed picture. Now, just so you know, folks, this wine had some stiff competition in the top 10. Number 10, was... Clos de Nit. Who fuck knows what that is? It's a Spanish wine. But number 9 was a wine that Scott, you and I enjoyed here on the show. The Stump Jump.
Yeah.
GSM. It was actually pretty good once you drank the whole bottle. The bottom half of the bottle was better than the top half. But
it needed to open.
Yeah, that's what it was. It needed to open, yeah. The next one was a Pinotage nobody knows of. But the next one, number 7, was Black Box Chardonnay. There you go. Wow. Yeah, that's right. The next ones nobody gives a shit about because they're stupid. But let me tell you. I'll tell you what.
Who's stupid? I don't know who's stupid. I'm not stupid.
The number 2 wine of the year in the Best Buy region, according to Wine Enthusiast, was Dark Horse Brut Bubbles Sparkling in a Can. That's right. And Behringer narrowly beat that out for number 1.
However, did they win?
Yes.
Becky, have you ever watched Schitt's Creek?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. They drink all the time. They drink champagne. Hey, what's going on with champagne?
Dark Horse in a Can. That's the next one we're going to have. Scott will buy it.
Well, tell me what it's called. That Dark Horse what?
Dark Horse. Fuck. What is it? Dark Horse Brut Bubbles. Sparkling. Brut Bubbles. This can of bubbles offers a lot of Chardonnay character. That's what it said. But that's not what we're here for. We're here for the Behringer. And it is under $10. So, and it doesn't have a lot to outpace with the d'Artois.
The list is hysterical. It's got some great names for the vineyards or the maker of the wines. The one that jumped out to me is that Two Birds, One Stone.
For who?
For Two Birds, One Stone wines.
Where did you see that? Oh, on the top?
Yeah, it's number 89.
Wow. Well, see, I didn't really care to go through the whole list because it's so dumb. Yeah. When Bubbles from, you know, Dark Horse gets your number 2.
Excuse me, Brut Bubbles.
Brut. Oh, how stupid of me.
How dare you?
Let me try that again. So, in the glass, it is overtly dark.
Watery edge.
But it has a little bit of a crimson brownish hue, and it's a little bit lighter when you actually tilt the glass.
Mm-hmm.
So it does look like Pinot.
It doesn't have that Kool-Aid appearance that
the
D'Artois.
Well, it's not cloudy like the D'Artois was.
And it's not full of tartaric acid particulate.
Yes.
I think looking at the label from del Trafoir.
Yes.
That Scott brought. I think that he should start autographing the wines that you get.
I mean, it is my handwriting on the back.
Yeah. We know what you bring. You think of the selections that you picked out that time. You picked out Samuel Robert shit,
which you actually is quite good in comparison.
That's okay in comparison.
I want to see what Samuel Robert winery becomes.
That's like saying the Korean War wasn't such a big deal because when you think about World War II, what the hell, man?
So funny. Those were both total wine exclusives.
Trying to get to your era.
I think Samuel Robert, you can get other.
No, you can't.
Places. Yeah,
I
think so. You can get it in China.
Yeah, you can get it in China.
It's one of the leading wines of China.
Yeah, that's right. You can get it in China or at Total
just
Wine.
Just go. Just do it. Just say it. Now it's not a
great time.
Say it. You're thinking it. Say it.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
Say
what,
it.
What am I thinking?
That Samuel Robert wine is probably responsible for the coronavirus.
No.
Say it.
He wasn't there.
He was thinking it.
No, I wasn't. No.
I don't
believe
it.
Maybe it is from the racetrack.
I'd rather eat the snake that caused it. But, you know.
I think now they say it's like this little wombat thing.
I'd rather eat the wombat. But
conspiracy theorists are everywhere. There's a conspiracy theorist that said that it's from a meteor shower. And it came from outer space.
That's not a conspiracy theory, Scott. That's a psychopath.
Same thing.
On the nose, folks, this smells like jam. Just jam. A big bowl full of jam.
Like?
Grape jam.
No.
Jelly.
No, blackberry jam.
A little bit of oak.
Oh, look how you're being such an aficionado.
That's blackberry. That's blackberry jam. It is jam. And a little oak.
Yeah, okay, it is blackberry jam. I take that back.
It's a nice little nose, actually.
Look at that.
But it's a lot of jam.
It's very jam.
What do you expect from a California Pinot?
Not blackberry jam. Not Smucker's. I mean, smells like Smucker's.
But remember.
What?
California Pinot is going to be much more fruit forward than an Old World Pinot.
I'm so glad you're here to just really
thank you.
Just.
Yeah.
It's true. You can't be mad at it.
It's a good thing she's got the drag set high.
That's like saying you can't be mad at a dog for being a dog.
Exactly.
Actually, you can.
But you can still kick a dog.
Hey.
As a dog. I didn't say kick him.
Well, he's the only dog in the room.
He's completely passed out, by the way.
I tried to get him to sleep on my lap and he wouldn't. But yeah, how many times, Scott, has he gotten on me for not liking a wine that shows varietal character of where it's from? Too many times to count. And I'm more than happy to return the favor.
What? I wasn't listening.
This is a Californian Pinot.
Uh-huh.
You need to judge it off of being a Californian Pinot.
I'm going to judge it if it were an Anderson Valley California Pinot. Yes, something good. Here we go.
It is a little bit. This is just California.
Yeah.
California.
Now you're being snooty.
No, I just think they can't even nail it down to a...
No, they can't.
I'm not being snooty about the wine. I'm being snooty about the winemaker.
Central Coast. That's where it's from.
Just a little...
Really a very warm section.
I think this is going to lead us back to the Pinot file somehow.
What's it?
Oh.
What?
Did you do your research?
I've never had this. I am retired now. I have to step away. My site is for sale. Well, this is the Pinot file. I know. Wait, it's not funny. It's my voice. I was at it. My mailing list. You find out how I feel about Foxglove Pinot. Wow. What?
Okay, I'll go into it.
I went in. You know, the enthusiast refers this as a medium to full-bodied wine.
Oh.
And I'm not going to go that far, but it's a bigger-bodied Pinot for sure.
It tastes better than it smells.
But it's got an unusual tannic backbone for a Pinot.
Well,
it's
does.
Not lean in any way.
Mm-mm. It actually finishes up. Well, the oak comes in on the finish, and it doesn't get too oppressive, although it starts to frame up there a little bit.
I do think the oaking is a bit heavy-handed for a Pinot.
Yeah, a little bit.
But at the same time, the fruit is bold enough that it can handle the oaking.
And the body as well, the tannins as well.
The fruit is, but it also never really goes crazy. It's a fairly well-balanced fruit.
Yes.
I think, yes, the oak is slightly out of balance, but it's not a charred oak. It's just, it just comes across a little bit pungently on the finish, but that's the only place.
And it's just slightly out of balance. Overall, it is a well-balanced wine with a lot of big in-your-face components.
It's actually quite good. I'll be honest though, I would still choose
something good.
No, this is good, but I would still, from my own personal taste, probably go with New Zealand Pinot before I would go to this. But although it's $9.99, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great price.
Oh yeah.
You think they did some Purple Death in here?
It tastes like Pinot. I mean,
kind of. You know, it's good. It's got these good flavors, but does it really taste like Pinot?
Yeah, mid-palate is completely Pinot. There's nothing else you would ever come across with this.
Let me go back in.
There's no residual sugar. It's dry. It might be a little bit rounder than you would normally think it should be at this price range, and that might be indicative of a little bit of, you know, hoo-hoo-ha-ha. But,
I think I can tell it's a Pinot.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say,
tastes like a Pinot.
We're doing a blind taste test of it. The fruit profile would, to some extent, make you think this is a Zin. It is very fruit forward. It is much more full body than a lot of other Pinots we've had. I don't know that I would immediately go to Pinot.
What exactly in the mid palate are you saying is so indicative of a Pinot? There's a couple things there, but I want to hear your
take also on. Just in starting off, it is so much darker than most other Pinots.
But it's translucent from that. Actually, it reminds me a little bit of coloration wise, the Rodney Strong's, not flavor profile wise. They're a bigger wine. The mid-palate, the way it finishes up with the slight sour cherry and that little kick of oak, that the mid-palate right there, the little streak of, the only thing I can think of is a sour cherry.
Yeah, okay.
From the acidity, that is the Pinot character.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
And that is undeniable. That you couldn't mistake that for anything.
But it doesn't... Okay, all right.
Yeah, and the front. The front palate tastes a little bit like, a fairly competent Cali Pinot, not Santa Barbara, not down there, more up towards more North Coast. It tastes a little Sonoma-esque.
Mm-hmm. About a $10 Pinot. It doesn't have that Pinot funk.
Well, it's not going to have funk. I mean,
it doesn't.
This is,
the fruit's too strong for there to be an underlying funk.
There's no mushroom. There's no.
Well, it's a first of all, how are you going
to. California.
Yeah. Yeah, how are you going to develop any terroir? You're not going to develop the terroir of anything because it's homogenized.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say Purple Death, no, but it is a hyper over blend. I mean, it is. So to get any kind of character from a certain region is impossible. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And they're going to find little bits and pieces. So to say Purple Death, no, it's not an extract, but they are probably favoring certain parts, warmer climates to get more fruit here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a warm climate warm climate Pinot. I'll stop, Becky. It doesn't
Freudian
taste like a Zin.
Slip, I believe.
We're going to blind test you again and see what happens. But, it's a warm weather Pinot, though, because of those rounder fruits. And there's not a lot of minerality or anything like that to speak of. But how can you say that, though? Because it is a blend of how many different places? They never tell you.
I know.
Probably Monterey, Central Coast.
It would. I mean, I know we're dealing with like a very, very much entry level, budget friendly Pinot, but it's so fruit forward that you're missing some of the things that make Pinot. Like, there's no floral element, there's no funk, there's nothing like that because the fruit is so strong. And I do know that we're dealing with California, but it is very strong, it is very dark.
But I think it's balanced well enough.
Yeah,
I mean,
fine.
You're not, if this was a $20 wine, you would not be satisfied, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
$8-$9 and that's a really good value. But then again,
that's a crazy value for a Pinot.
But I'll spend $17 on a Pinot that I like. I wouldn't get around to spending $9 on this.
I don't know what their case production is, something nice about this is it's going to be very consistent. You're not going to get a ton of variation.
You
buy this, you know what you're getting. I would also guess that it's going to be decently similar year after year. At this level of production,
I've not seen it got this kind of review, although I will say it's nice to see a wine in a low line that is competent.
Yeah.
Because you've lost a little bit of that value level. And this is really what I would consider the value level wine. You know, the BV Coastals are shit. You know, that kind of stuff. That value line, that's a lost wine anymore. And, you know, partly because they bring in the next wine, then the next one. They keep stacking them up on top of each other, these line wines, and then they lose the grapes. See, you know, now say Columbia Crest, for instance, they used to have just a regular old Washington cap. Well, now they don't have that because they have all these different things, and they're pulling grapes from what was that. And so some wineries, they go out and try to find replacements for that cheap wine. So they introduce something in the teens, but they're using those old grapes, those old vines that they used to make the cheap stuff, real cheap stuff out of. And so now they're going out and sourcing or growing new things for that, and that makes that bottom level horrible. And so now everything's in the $14, $15 range when it used to be $7,
$8. Yeah. Another thing I would say about this being a value wine, it doesn't have some of that deep funkiness. It doesn't have those other flavors we were talking about. So it would also be a very nice intro to Pinot because it doesn't have anything really objectionable to it at all. I think you would have to really go a lot further on your Pinot journey, you know, to change your taste buds around. But it is, if you're drinking other, you know, if you're a cab drinker, it's going to be hard to switch to a Pinot. But this would be less difficult, I think.
I agree with that. I think to transition from something else to Pinot to this, but
I don't think this is going to make anyone a Pinot lover.
No.
I think it's a very nice intro into the variety.
By far, I prefer McManus because it's a way undervalued wine.
You've never had the McManus Pinot Noir.
It's still way undervalued.
Does McManus make a Pinot?
Of course they do.
Do we have it?
No.
Why?
I thought we did.
We keep buying everything but that.
You know, there are Viogniers in the list.
Yes. Actually, McManus is about the same price as this.
No, McManus is more.
Okay, by a buck or two.
How much is it?
I think
10 or 11. We have the Zinfandel, actually, lined up on the show, but we haven't drank that yet.
Oh, I'm sure it'll make it be a second episode. Oh,
well, so I wasn't, bitter. But now I will.
So bitter.
He's
oh, my gosh.
What are we going to put in the Wine Vault Hall of Fame tonight, Scott?
Not this.
We got a $5 Primitivo coming up, man. That's right, $5.
Oh, that bottle is fancy.
Yes, but what's in it isn't. $5, baby.
Woo! So, serious question.
Sure.
Could you drink a bottle of this?
I will come straight out and say no. I don't think I'm getting through this class. I don't care for this.
What don't you care about?
You haven't drank that much either.
No,
that's
it's not. It's not delicious, but it's competent. Yeah, I mean, no. Would I buy another one? No, I wouldn't because I would just spend more on something I really like. This is fine. It really is. But you really have your sights kind of set low because it's competent. It's fine. It's just not very exciting. And it doesn't deliver on some of the funk. Okay, if you're finding funk in California Pinot Noirs, good luck. That's fairly rare. But at least stylistically, that's not what they're going for. But
budget and entry price, it's a bit of an ask on my
part. Well, even then, it's even in nicer ones, that's not really the style they go for. But there are
Let's
so many
discuss.
Options.
The longer for me, it's just the longer it sits, the less I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I just,
Let's discuss a situation where this wine would be appropriate. You have to give it a compliment.
I mean, if you had this at a wedding, it'd be great. Not in a cup, though. Not in a Dixie cup, though. I don't know.
At an open dinner party, for sure.
Yeah. I mean...
A Christmas party.
Sure. That would be fine for that. I mean...
Would you be able to make it through a glass there? I'll none make of it us have glass. Finished our glass.
Well, it's once again... There's a difference between, I understand this is a very good wine for $9, but it's like... I don't really like $9 wines. I mean, I don't, unless they're...
We want to. I want to like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's tons better than the D'Autrefois.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I
don't
can...
Would you rather have this or Fantini?
Oh, Fantini. Yeah. I love Fantini. Fantini's great.
Also,
Fantini's fun.
Came in at 87.
Well, yeah, Fantini, that's a multiple Chianti di Abruzzo. I've had three different vintages of that. And by the way, they have a Giant Eagle. They have it everywhere now. Matter of fact, everything that we had that night is sold at Giant Eagle.
Yeah.
But Fantini is just a fun, delicious wine.
$12 on the list. I think around here it goes for $10.99.
Because I always drink it myself. I can get it for $8.99, actually.
You have a connection.
I do. Same place I can get Catena Malbec for $9.99.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that little hole in the wall.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. Yeah, it's a very, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I've had that wine.
No, you haven't had the opportunity. Huh. I drink it by myself.
It's so interesting that I've had D'Autrefois.
Yeah. But you never had Fantini?
Yeah. Huh.
What a shame.
The Waterbrook Melange?
I'm good. That sucked.
Versus this? I'd rather
have this.
I'd rather the Waterbrook.
Waterbrook's not good. That was not good. I didn't enjoy that. Mmm. What is it called? Where's it at up there? The Mencina.
Here's what.
Flavium Mencina. That was great.
Oh, yeah, the Flavium.
That's $9.99 as well.
The bottle sitting there.
Yeah, that, what?
Isn't that the one I bought doubles of?
Yeah, but I drank that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I drank that myself.
Oh, my God.
What was it for?
Wrong with him?
Becky drank it, too.
What is wrong with him? Oh.
Mostly me.
Jesus.
Don't bring doubles in here. I'm going to drink some, bitch.
Dr. Lucens, Dr. L, Dry Riesling made the list.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
CVNE?
That's fine. Yeah, we liked it. We put it in the value price offer.
Yeah, I'd pick that over this every day.
Oh, so sure. So would I. Yeah, yeah. But it got higher scores. Once again, the Enthusiast 91, come on, man. I drink a Hoglade Harvest Riesling before this.
Every day of the week.
Yeah, because that's a very great wine. Hoglade Harvest Riesling, everybody. Or the Neagle, or any other random things we put in the Value Price Hall of Fame that Becky objects to.
Stump Jump.
Everything you ever have on a second episode.
Yeah. Han GSM.
I'm very interested tonight.
Blue Bubbles.
Because we haven't finished a glass, I think that you'll be much more discerning for the second episode.
We must do fruit bubbles on the show.
I know. Agreed.
Well, go buy
agreed.
It. Yeah, we will do it. I got to know what the number two one is.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but maybe I'm just not looking in the canned.
It's sold out.
The canned it's wine section.
No, it's.
Is it available on wine.com?
We're not. We don't want them to know. They track what you order on there. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, Jeff, the sommelier, who asked us to help.
Hello. How can I help you find a great wine? It's like, you can go fuck yourself, Jeff.
He would be shaming us.
Yeah. No, I said I would help you find a great wine.
Yeah, Brute Bubbles is that Giant Eagle on a shelf with the rest of the cans.
Scott, you should place another order and get another bottle of Astralis and that Brute Bubbles. Or just fuck with them. Have like Rothschild and a bunch of other shit in your actual cart, but then only buy the Brute Bubbles. That'd be great.
I always have a bunch of really expensive shit in my cart that I never buy.
Yes.
Just in case I get, you know, drunk dial and I'm on wine.com.
Oh, you're a little drunk and you're like, I'm going to order wine tonight. Well, and then you don't really, you lose that filter. Yeah, I got you. I don't do that,
though. You know how it goes.
That's right.
Yeah, you never do that.
No, I don't. But I did get...
Don't believe him,
Becky. I did get Becky a great Valentine's Day gift.
Really?
Yes, I did.
You can tell.
I got puppy?
No. Another bottle of Juvenile. Remember how they had it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I bought that for Becky. Not for me.
Did he? Did he really buy it for you? How much of the bottle did you get?
We haven't drank it yet.
Oh, okay.
You've got to let Juvie sit for at least a year.
It was a bit of a surprising Valentine's Day gift.
What's that? What?
Go ahead.
You don't like port.
That wouldn't have been my other thought for a Valentine's Day gift. I just, when I realized that he got me wine, I just assumed it was Love Bug.
Oh, well.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Is there a note of disappointment in the air? I mean, I realize Rob's your husband, so that goes without saying. But on the choice of the bottle of wine, is there a little disappointment there?
I would never be disappointed with Turley.
But
I was just surprised.
Is that an air of disappointment?
No.
There's a look on your face. There's a look on your face.
Who did you buy the Turley for?
For you, my love. For you.
By the way, what was it? $26.99
on $25.99.
Yeah, if you've never experienced Turley, get on wine.com. Get the Juvie. It's their entry priced wine, absolutely, and it's fantastic.
That's
folks.
A crazy price for such a good wine.
But
really, I mean, it's
for
like
retail.
But hold it for at least a year or two. They actually are starting to try to change their allocation schedules, so they hold their wines back longer. Their wines are never ready upon release. Yeah. Always hold them for at least a year minimum. Everything. Yeah.
But if there is one you can drink right away, it is the
not
Juvie.
The Juvie.
Oh, I think you can drink the Juvie.
No, never. Old Vine, I think you can.
You know, probably Old Vine is more wine.
But Juvie,
drink right away.
No way. Juvie always needs to sit. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And we're going to come back with a review for the Behringer here on the Wine Vault. Folks, so the 2017 Behringer Founders Estate Pinot Noir. We never really figured out what Founders Estate means. So just to give them their full due,
absolutely nothing. By the way, Wagner is better than this and is also on the top 100 list. The 2017 Dry Riesling from the Finger Lakes region, New York.
I just read what it means, and it's completely. Stupid.
Yeah, so, it doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. So, we're going to go around the room. We're going to get a review. And by the way, this has won the Cali versus French challenge.
By far.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I don't like this.
So
it's won by far.
It's even the score between Cali and France. So the next, we will do this again with a different varietal.
That's fun. It was fun, even if the French wine was so bad.
So bad. I think it just wins by default.
2 ounces. Well,
the Altois Foix won last by last. You know, it's like
by default.
This is kind of like the Ryder Cup.
At least there were maybe three or four sips of the Altois Foix that I was like, oh, why did I take another drink? Yeah. But it was just sitting there, and so it's like an automatic thing.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
This is is a struggle. I don't think it's a 91.
No.
I know. I'm just saying it's like, it's just a hard. I'm going to give it like an 86.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard when you're scoring it like much lower than other wine reviewers.
No, that's actually.
No, I think that's. I aggregate think it's that score.
Okay. So I'm giving it an 86. All the things that we've said. It's not like interesting, memorable, any of those things. It's not going to stand out, but it is a very, very appropriate California Pinot. It would be great at any kind of like mass serving event.
What, the Jim Jones thing?
Yeah. Well, we talked about a Christmas party, a wedding, like any of those things. It would be totally fine.
It worked out for them.
I just remembered who Jim Jones is. Jeez, Rob.
What was the California call? Were they?
I don't know.
Which one was the Haley's Comet one?
That's that.
That one.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, so, we're so inappropriate.
I love it when my jokes take at least 35 seconds to actually hit.
Just in the middle of my wine review.
So I totally get the 86, except I'm going 85 because I didn't care for it as much as I think either of you. I get it. It is just a $10 wine. It is good. It's just the longer it's in my glass, I just didn't enjoy. I just didn't enjoy it. It just wasn't for me. I think. Eventually, the over oaking out of balance, it just took over for me. And I mean, maybe on a different night, maybe with a meal, maybe with a burger, maybe with wings, maybe with some wine. Kind of food.
Wings?
I mean,
this is not a good wine.
No.
It also has enough fruit that you could pair it with something crazy and just see. I don't know.
You got barbecue sauce all over your face, and your little hands have barbecue sauce.
This is enough.
Like, let me drink my Pinot.
I'd be happy to have this at a bar.
This has enough flavor to stand up to barbecue sauce on
with
this
the hottest
plate.
Sauce what, they
would you have
provide.
Your pink shirt on that you got barbecue sauce all over that you put your
Where
hands
was
on?
Where was that?
That was at Steve's place. You had your hot. He had a Scott had a hot pink. T-shirt on. Hot
that's,
pink.
That's made out of bamboo, by
yes,
the way.
Hot
t-shirt.
Pink. And we were making fun of this hot
it's
pink.
It's actually not a hot pink.
It was hot pink.
It's just pink.
It was hot pink.
It's not hot
and pink. For some reason, he put his wing hands all over his shirt, so he had barbecue handprints all over his shirt.
And we were going somewhere afterwards. Yes. So I just stop and change.
He had his hot pink shirt with wing fingers all over.
Not memorable. Watch it was.
It was so funny. The fact that you wore a hot pink shirt and then you put your wing fingers all over it.
I think we were drinking Moscow Mules that night.
Well, what were you doing? Why were you? Were you cupping yourself or something? I don't know what the hell you were doing, man. You doing a Madonna pose?
I was deciding if I was going to take home one of the copper mugs.
I don't know. You rubbed your.
This was after Steve had already given me some and. I'm a klepto.
So you
as am I. Rob made me promise. Before we had kids, he made me promise to stop stealing cups from restaurants.
Yeah, I've done
he
it
like
since.
I don't, Scott. I don't know what you mean.
Are you kidding me?
There's a copper mug.
Rob
from the
Rob legitimately had an intervention with me. This would have been 2012.
Well, point of order. This did not come from the Rusty Buck.
Where'd it come from? It
came from Shooter Fest, and Steve gave it to me at Shooter Fest.
He's so nice.
Vis-a-vis.
Well, I mean, you know, and we drank coffee out of them. By the way, this is not a good cup. It's copper.
Yeah.
Oh, pure copper. It's not a good cup to drink coffee out of because it burns your hand off.
That's what you get for stealing.
And you can't put it to your lips because it burns your mouth
what you
off.
Get.
Was it the brewery that made Breakfast Stop? Founders. Yeah. I have not one but two Founders Breakfast Stout coffee mugs.
And by the way, folks, I'm also
don't ask me where I got those.
I'm also providing this wine 85 of my points because this wine was designed to receive an 85.
Yeah.
I for sure thought I was going to be the Russian judge.
No, it's good, not great.
Wow.
It does.
Are you putting it in the wine vault value?
No,
I don't. I don't even recommend it. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, it's fine, folks, and that's what I would say. This is perfectly fine. Yep. It's a little. It's borderline on meh. It's somewhere in that range of it's fine to meh. Would you ever get around to buy it?
Smile. It's fine.
Yeah, would you ever buy it?
Shoulder shrug. Like it's fine.
So no. We've had a few off the top 100 best buys.
Yeah.
I think by far Wagner was the one that was the best.
Well, this year you mean, yes.
Yeah, I think we liked the CVNE, although I'm not sure that was the same year.
Yeah, it was. No, the Wagner, what we liked about Wagner is it was so original and fresh and fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that Wagner just kind of zeroed in on that. It
had so many individual components you were able to pick out so easily. What, we had 12, 13 different things you picked on that?
No, you're mistaking that for something else. It wasn't the complexity. It was the freshness and the vibrance. It was like
6 different fruits we picked out on that thing.
No. It was more just the overall freshness and the vibrance and just the overall enjoyment factor of that wine. It's not that it was particularly complex. It's just an enjoyable drink. This wine is... No. It's wine. It's fine. It's probably what the Old 12 Foix should be, and it isn't.
Ugh. Mine so, is the fruit forward
flavor. Well, the whole thing. As Scott says, and I will agree with this, you get more tired of it as you drink it.
Yeah.
No, seriously. It was good the first...
You drank the most of it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not drinking any more of it. It's good on the first sip.
Yeah.
Second one, you're like, okay. And then it just kind of wears on you simply because it doesn't really have anything that you want to come back to. Wine, you drink it because you enjoy it. This wine, you drink it because it's okay.
And it
is not enjoyment.
And it... We lost that enjoyment along the way, whatever we had at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and although
it happens,
there's been a lot of Hollywood actors that have made their money on okay, you know.
Yeah, well,
think of Bjork. Okay,
she's phenomenal.
She sucks. God.
Wow, she's fantastic.
No, she's terrible.
You just haven't seen the movie.
Why would I?
To be entertained.
I've not had my son punch me in the nuts and ask me to fight in a street fight tonight. I'm okay with not doing that either, although I'd rather do a street fight. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, United States wins. They rescue France again. sorry. I know we have people from France that listen to the show, and I'm not quite sure why you do.
Well,
I wouldn't.
They love us. Oh, no.
Americans.
They're ridiculous.
That's true. So, the Old 12 Foix, you suck. Behringer Founders Estate, you don't suck.
Fine.
You don't suck. Congratulations. That's all I got for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bravo. And we are going to bid you adieu. And see you next time on the Wine Vault.
Adieu, adieu, adieu.
Good night.